Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our book pick segment. One of the highlights of the week is sitting down with our independent booksellers and finding out the really cool books, the really cool reads, and what is going on. So it's a thrill to talk to Lily Bartels, book buyer for the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, New York. Lily, good morning. How are you?
Good, Del. How are you?
I'm fine. Very nice to have you on the program as always. And so, where would you like to begin?
I want to start, and first of all, it was so hard to narrow this list down because there's such an explosion of great books coming out this
yes.
month. Nevertheless, I'm going to start with a book called That Time of Year by Marie Ndiaye, who is translated by Jordan Stump. And this is a relatively slim but very spellbinding novel that really packs a punch. And it is, I'd say, essentially about the spell cast by a rural French village over its residents and any vacationers who happen to overstay their time. So it's a vacation spot for Parisians. And when the story starts, the main character, Herman, is about to return to Paris with his wife and child. They've always left on August 31st, which is officially the end of the vacation season. But this year, they've stayed a day past that point. And that morning, his wife, Rose, and their child go to a neighboring farm to get some eggs, and they do not return. So their disappearance and Herman's kind of frantic attempts to enlist the locals into helping him find his family opens a kind of portal into psychological terror. So sort of a rabbit hole that Herman begins to helplessly spiral down. The village itself in this story becomes a character. It's full of menace. The overriding question in the reader's head is, what is going on here? I would describe the story as Twilight Zone meets David Lynch meets Alfred Hitchcock. So it's creepy, it's unsettling, it's surreal, with the tension building and building toward the end in a very compelling way. And I have to tell you that even after I set this book down, I realized I had literally been holding my breath for the last 10 pages.
Wow.
So, it's very affecting. It's kind of unlike anything I've read recently, and strongly recommend.
It is entitled That Time of Year. Okay, next up.
So, I love this book. It is called Cher Ami and Major Whittlesey by Kathleen Rooney, and it is based on an incredible true story of a World War I messenger pigeon and the nearly 200 soldiers whose life she saved. So it's wonderful historical fiction. And the incident itself took place in October 1918 in France, when American soldiers, a group of American soldiers that would come to be known as the Lost Battalion, were trapped in enemy territory for five truly hellish days. They were under attack from the Germans, but also taking friendly fire from their fellow American troops. Now, Whittlesey was this rather mild-mannered Manhattan attorney who had enlisted in the army and become the commander of this Lost Battalion. And he wrote the message that Cher Ami managed to get through via a dangerous flight. But she successfully conveyed that plea for help and salvation, despite being severely injured in that flight. Rooney tells this story in alternating voices of, yes, Cher Ami, and Major Whittlesey. And while that might sound like it could be a little bit hokey, trust me, it's very successful and very affecting. And it's obviously a very unique story that she's rescued from the mists of history. And it's really about endurance and duty and love, really. And it really does go straight to the heart. And as a footnote, I want to say that while American medics were able to save Cher Ami's life, they could not save her leg. So wait for it. They made her a little wooden leg. And she eventually was brought to the States after the war. And you can still see her in the Smithsonian Institute with her little wooden leg. So it's a wonderful story that you know, that's captured from the past and told in a wonderful way.
Cher-Ami and Major Whittlesey by Kathleen Rooney. Okay, next up.
Now onto some nonfiction. The Cold Vanish by John Billman. Billman is a journalist, and in this book, he's taken a fascinating, in-depth look at true-life accounts of people who vanish in the American wilderness, and also at their desperate family members who persist in trying to find them, often against staggering obstacles. These are those instances that you read about, the vanished without a trace, incidents that defy conventional logic. And I have to say, I had no idea how many of these occur every year in the United States. It's in the hundreds of thousands. And in this story, Billman focuses mainly on the case of a man named Jacob Gray, who in 2017 got off his bike in Olympic National Park in Washington State and disappeared into the wilderness. And he recounts Jacob's father's relentless search to find him. But as he's telling that story, other accounts of similar disappearances and similar desperate families seeking answers are woven throughout. So it is, it's an amazingly well-researched story, and the reporting makes for enthralling and kind of haunting reading. And it's also Billman's compassion and sympathy that he has for these people, and particularly for their families who don't give up hope despite tremendous obstacles. It's quite an enlightening story.
And it's called The Cold Vanish.
I'm going to move on.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you that I am a dyed-in-the-wool Old West obsessive. And so when a new book about Butch Cassidy, called Butch Cassidy, The True Story of an American Outlaw, by Charles Learson, fell into my hands, you can bet I was going to delve into that. So this is likely to be the most definitive account of Cassidy's life that we're ever going to have. All contemporary evidence from the period consists of legal documents, police reports, newspapers, newspaper accounts of the time. Parts of it are necessarily speculative because of that, but as I said, it is probably the fullest picture of Butch Cassidy that we are ever going to have. Butch was the eldest of 13 kids, and he grew up on a hardscrabble ranch, and he left at a young age to take up a life of crime, which at that point basically consisted of cattle, stealing cattle and horses, and he sort of subsidized that by working legitimately as a ranch hand. But after a few years of this, he fell in with the men who would make up the gang that he led. And we know from the movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, that that group was called the Hole in the Wall Gang. And he became their leader. And newspapers, you know, faithfully followed their very brazen bank robberies and train robberies, which actually only lasted a few years, because as a character in the movie says, your time here is done. So in 1901, Butch and the Sundance Kid, whose real name was Harry Longabow, and that's a whole other story, they left for South America and worked for a time as honest ranchers in Argentina. But in 1905, they reverted to robbery. And then they moved on to Chile for a while and then ended up in Bolivia, where in 1908 they were cornered by Bolivian soldiers. And unlike that very iconic last freeze frame in the movie, Learson concludes from the evidence available that sadly Butch and Sundance most likely committed suicide at that point. He was the most successful of all the frontier outlaws, and this is a really entertaining and vibrant account of his life.
The title is Butch Cassidy, The True Story of an American Outlaw by Charles Learson. Is that right? Learson?
Learson.
Learson. All right. Next up.
Is Vesper Flight by Helen MacDonald, also just out. MacDonald's earlier book, H is for Home.
Did we lose Lily? We have been unable to get our phone system up in time to go back to Lily Bartels because we have to take the news just in 10 seconds. I just want to give you the website, which is Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady. The book list will be on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Coming up next, John Dean.